The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new. So step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Adam Vingan from The Athletic going to join us at 9:30. We'll get into the breaking news in the NHL with him as well. We're talking about it all hour long here on the program. The Nashville Predators, a big win last night against the Detroit Red Wings, 2-0. UC Saros makes 31 saves, and the Predators have won 4 out of their last 5 games, playing very well right now, and now 4 points out of the playoffs as well. They were 4 points out of the playoffs heading into yesterday's game, too. Chicago wins 3-2. They hold on against the Florida Panthers, so still 4 points back, but the Predators playing some good hockey. We had Matt Duchene on in the last segment to talk about a little bit of that. But right now, the breaking news in the NHL and really the headline from the game last night between the Predators and the Red Wings was a hot mic incident that took place with referee Tim Peel as it relates to the TV broadcast as they were going to break. Tim Peel basically saying he was calling a penalty on the Predators and wanted to get a penalty called on them a little earlier and used some words that we cannot use here on the program to describe that. But now, news coming out a few minutes ago that the league moving on from Tim Peel as an official. Now, as Elliot Friedman has pointed out, Tim Peel was scheduled to retire at the end of this year anyway, and you heard Matt Duchene bring that up in the last segment as well. But this coming from the NHL Public Relations Twitter account and just announcing that Tim Peel, following his comments during the game last night between the Red Wings and the Predators, no longer will be working in the NHL games now or in the future. So Tim Peel is done as an NHL official.
So if he weren't gone in a month, would this decision have been the same?
That's a good question. I tend to believe no. I tend to think maybe a suspension would have been involved at that point. But, I mean, if you're suspending the guy now, I mean, his last game was scheduled to be, I think, literally a month from now. So
yeah, but it's a little bit of a word that Tim Peel used that we can't say. You to him, isn't it?
To kind of
a bleep.
Yeah, just kind of like kick him while he's down on the way out the door, I guess.
A little bit.
I don't know. I mean, it could be.
Maybe someone really doesn't like him.
Well, and to that point, we had a question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is coming from Max in Kentucky that says, I'm not wanting to read too deep into this, but if the NHL acted at this level this quickly, could there have been an ongoing look at him?
Well, so could there, that's what I said last segment.
Right. Like, could this have been something where the NHL has been monitoring Tim Peel for a while and this was just the last straw?
Or
did they take this seriously where he's just out?
Right. Or-ish. Or also, is it because they know he's leaving, this is a chance to look really strong against something that, wink, wink, there's no way this, to me, never happens. But I thought Matt Duchene's comments were really interesting last segment about this.
Yeah.
Because he called it shocking. I think that's the word he used. Even though, I mean, again, so he basically told the bench this?
Yeah.
So he basically
he was talking to Forsberg. And this is what happened. And this is what the mic picked up, I guess.
But like, so if you're telling a player this, you're telling me that this isn't something that's kind of known as a thing. Again, not. I agree with everything Duchesne said about how it's not okay. I agree. No. You know, this is not how you should do it. You should call penalties. You should call penalties that happen on the ice, on the floor, on the field. And then if they don't happen, don't call them.
Right.
Right? But also, there is a bigger picture that officials take into account sometimes.
Well, there is. And we talked about to begin the show. I mean, there's always been a human element to officiating. And there's always been a human element to makeup calls or whatever you want to call them. Like, I've watched sporting events where I've watched a call that's been either made or missed and then turn around. And it happens all the time in the NBA where a call is made. Maybe it's a bad call. They've got a chance to go look at it later. And then all of a sudden there's this really soft foul call on the other side of the floor. And you're like, okay, well, there's your makeup call. We've always just kind of assumed that's a thing in sports. I think it's been a thing in hockey before, too. I think it's been a thing in the NFL. Like, I don't think there's a sport that's immune from this. But when you have, you know, officials actively talking about it, that's a problem, as the NHL PR account just came out with and said. That's a big problem. The integrity of the game at that point becomes called into question.
Well, I complained earlier on the show about the oh, there's a 6-1 foul disparity. Bleep, bleep, bleep. You know, three straight, not bleep, beep, whatever the whistle sound is. Three straight whistles on hand checks,
right?
Like light hand checks. Okay, now it's 6-4. Okay, let's play the game now. Also, though, you see in basketball for sure, games are getting chippy, out of hand. All of a sudden, you'll see calls get tighter for a while to try to control that. This is absolutely part of it. I'm going to be really interested to see the reporting and the follow-ups on this story as it relates to big picture officiating in the NHL. Because I do wonder, is Tim Peel in particular just a standout as a guy who does stuff you shouldn't do? And like the texter said, has a file, and they finally said, okay, that's it. Or is he just being made an example of because everybody knows he's leaving anyway and the NHL doesn't like how this looks?
Well, yeah, I think it's a good question.
Or all of it.
But we also talked about earlier in the show, like, people know Tim Peel. Like, there are 31 teams in the NHL that know exactly who Tim Peel is. Generally speaking, that's not a good thing. Like, when you know the officials' names, even some of your casual fans, like,
yeah, there's never like, oh, superstar official, like, Ken Valentine.
People know Wes McCauley as well in the NHL, but that's because he's a little bit dramatic with some of the calls that he makes and how he announces some of the results of the reviews. Like, he tries to have fun with it a little bit, and they mic up Wes McCauley all the time. And generally speaking, it's really cool to watch and really cool to listen to because the interactions he has on the ice are pretty good. But people know Tim Peel, and that was as big of a story as anything last night. Not only the mic'd up incident and what happened, but also who it was. Like, Greg Wyshynski was talking about it, Elliot Friedman was talking about it, and the fact that Tim Peel was a part of the discussion, I think, was just as big of a story as the actual incident itself last night, at least on the national NHL media landscape portion of this conversation.
Yeah. So our friend Jeremy K. Gover tweets in, how many times has Pete Weber used the term Mary Kay call for decades now? Not a new concept. Talking about it openly, however. And yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, I still like makeup call is one thing. There's no doubt those happen, right? This was more of a send a message to a team call. Right? It's a little bit different, but it's still, the idea is basically that you are making a call for another reason other than I just saw a penalty.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, Duchesne in the last segment, that was kind of the his point. And I agree with that. And I've talked about it. You know, I wasn't like over the top offended by this last night, like I think a lot of Predators fans were. And maybe that's just because I've kind of figured that stuff like this happens for a while now and I've just gotten used to it. Like, it's, I'm not blown away by what happened last night. But obviously, Predators fans were very upset about it. Matt Duchesne was pretty upset about it as well. And I think his point is a good one and is a valid one. Like, if you're an official, it shouldn't be you going out there and saying, all right, well, this team, we've called 4 penalties against the Predators. We probably ought to give them a power play here. Like, that should not be how the game works. Now,
yeah, you can't predetermine stuff.
Yeah, like, do I think that happens sometimes? Yeah, I do. Like, I think there have been some instances where teams have gotten the majority of the power play, and you even hear people talk about this sometimes, like, you better expect to be on the penalty kill at some point here in this third period because you've gotten a lot of power play chances thus far.
Sure.
I don't like that. I don't think that's how the game should work. I don't know how prevalent that is, but I do think it's happened before. And as I said, especially earlier when the game was more physical than it is today. So I agree from that standpoint, Matt Duchene, like it should not be that way. You should just call the game as you see it, regardless of the circumstances. And if one team is just consistently outworking the other on a night and they get five power plays and you don't get any, is the opposing coach probably going to be upset about that after the game?
Yeah.
Deal with it. That's how the game went. That's how it should be. I'm just not convinced that's how it always plays out.
Well, and again, I keep bringing it to basketball. Sometimes, you know, fans will point to, oh, my God, the foul disparity was they had 36 foul shots and we had 8. I saw this from Tennessee all year, and it's like, guess what? Tennessee shot a bunch of jumpers, and the other team drove the basketball. Like it doesn't always reflect inequity and officiating. It just reflects how the game went, and that's how officiating should be, but too many – officials still in the midst of that might be like, okay, yeah, let's even it up a little bit. Not how you're supposed to do it. To the point on Tim Peel, how many officials in pro and college sports are known because they're light?
Not many. I mean,
like Ed Hockley.
He was known because he was jacked.
Some guns, yeah. Some big guns out there.
I mean, Wes McCauley is generally speaking pretty liked. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's not many.
Like nobody, I can't think of anybody in the NBA or college basketball. Like they're all known because they're awful.
Yeah.
Ed Hightower was a official that people liked. You know, he's a really nice guy.
Right.
You know,
but for it's a thankless job.
You don't want to be known. Yeah, you don't want to be known. It's sure. Kind of like you don't want to be known if you're the long snapper.
Yes, you'd rather go just right off into the anonymous sunset.
Don't
there.
Screw it up, man.
This is like I'm surprised that this has happened. Like when the NHL said last night that they were looking into it, and we mentioned to begin the show that. The Athletic reached out to Bill Daly, and he said, you know, they're looking into it. I thought, okay, well, they'll look into it. They'll see what happens. They'll probably give, you know, Kelly Sutherland and Tim Peel a talking to, and then that'll be the end of it, and you'll move on. Especially when you factor in, like, it didn't end up costing the Predators the game or anything like that. Like, if that happens, then I think you've got a whole different deal. And to Duchene's point, that could have happened, and then we'd be talking about, you know, what a travesty that was today. But because that didn't happen, I wasn't convinced that anything, you know, punitive was going to come down the line. I am kind of blown away that they have moved on from Tim Peel at this point. I really am.
Yeah, I didn't think there'd be even a suspension. I thought there'd be a statement. You know, this is not tolerated and move on. So, they can't. I mean, how many times do you wait on leagues in any situation to have some kind of punishment and they bring a hammer that just, you know, makes you stand up and notice. That doesn't happen that often at all.
I mean, this is 12
especially
hours later.
Especially for officials.
Yeah, and it's to your point, it's so quick, too. I mean, 12 hours later, here we are talking about he's gone.
Someone doesn't like Tim Peel.
Well, there's 31.
You're not breaking news there.
Yeah, 31 NHL fan bases.
I have some insight for you. Yeah. I don't think everyone likes Tim Peel.
I wonder if he'll get a call from James Neal today. We'll see. Don't know if that'll happen or not. When we come
back, James Neal has his number.
We'll continue to react to this breaking news in the NHL. Tim Peel out as an NFL official after the hot mic incident last night in the Predators.
NHL.
And did I say NFL?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. NHL.
Yeah.
And I cover the NHL, too.
Fine.
Freudian slip.
Maybe he can now go to the NFL?
That'd be something. Anyway, we'll continue to talk about this next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, is your bracket busted? And let's be honest, you know at this point that it is. Well, we've got a solution for you. You can enter the 16-team Game Bracket Challenge to win great prizes. All you got to do is go to thegamenashville.com to sign up now and play. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, European Collision Repair, Cool Springs Wine and Spirits, and Coach's Corner Sports Grill. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. We'll be joined to begin the next segment by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get into the breaking NHL news with him on Tim Peel. Also, the Predators playing really well right now, winners of 4 out of their last 5. So a lot to get to with Adam Vingan coming up at 9:30. Continuing to take your reaction all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Greg texts in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and says, with the rise of betting sites and partnerships, the NHL does not want the appearance of refs affecting the outcome of games, too much money is involved. And we've talked about that before, and mainly the discussion has been surrounding, you know, the NBA with stuff like that, with the officiating, and you've talked about that being a heavy concern of yours, of officials being on the take. Now, this is not that. This is nowhere close to that. But you're talking about the officials on an audio recording being caught in a situation like this where the league felt it appropriate enough to take action and move on from him at that point. I think that's a good point brought up by Greg.
Yeah, and again, we don't have enough show left for me to lose my mind on this, but one of the most confounding things to me in all sports is, and especially college sports, where you have so much money flowing and you have palatial buildings,
chocolate
left
fountains,
and right, and all this stuff, and you've got college basketball officials making like $2,000 a game driving all over. It's insane to me when you think about how easy it is to change the outcome of a game. And I think probably, I mean, I think certainly in football too. I mean, any sport, you can find a call or two late in a game and say that just changed the outcome of the game.
Yep.
So how is it? How are we not, one, investing more in officials in general, but especially I think in college sports, because, you know, like NBA and NFL refs, for example, and these are full-time jobs.
Yeah.
They still be paid more to me. They should be held to a higher standard. They should be held publicly accountable for what they are doing. This has been this huge resistance, which I guess comes down to, as it's been explained to me, comes down to this idea of, well, if media are asking them questions, it's just going to be like these homer questions about this call or that call. It's like, okay, well, I understand what you're saying there, but you know what? Officials should have to answer to more than just the occasional pool reporter who, and I've been that pool reporter in an NCAA tournament, who gets into a room with an official and you get like two questions in 2 minutes, then you're out of there.
Yeah.
No. Put them in front of everybody. This is the name. This is the person. I understand there's safety stuff there too, but it's the same thing with all these public figures who are in the sports world. Officials should be more accountable, should be paid more, should be invested in more. And to the point of the texture there, and I don't know that it's necessarily, I mean, now that gambling is so much more widespread, does that make it more of a thing? I don't know. I mean, people have been fixing games. I mean, Arnold Rothstein was more than 100 years ago.
Right.
And the 1919 World Series. It's always been a thing. And it's something that sports leagues don't like talking about, but man, it's a real thing. And Tim Donahue gave us a glimpse of that, and don't even think for a minute that he's the only one.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, the NHL is just blowing smoke. Peel wouldn't have been fired if he wasn't retiring this season. I guarantee it. I mean, we'll never know. Maybe. I don't know. Nate could be right, but we'll never know the answer to that question. But certainly, I mean, if under normal circumstances, Tim Peel would be suspended, and maybe he's suspended for 2 months or 3 months or whatever it would be. I mean, obviously you're not going to do that now with him retiring. But to just go ahead and pull the plug, I think it is an opportunity for the NHL to get out ahead of this and look strong. I think they've done that. Like, as I said, I did not expect this to happen. And the reaction that I'm seeing now nationally, just from some of the big writers across the landscape of the NHL, is a positive one, and saying that this is the right call by the NHL.
Like, does he get a parting gift? Does he get a fruit basket? Does he get to clean out his office?
I don't know.
This is quite a way for Tim Peel. How many years for Tim Peel?
I'd have to go look it up. It's been a long time, though. I know that.
It's quite a way for it to end.
Yeah.
One offhand comment, which, again, I get people being mad about it. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to say out loud. And you tell me, in an NHL season, how many times would you suppose something like that is uttered between officials?
I mean, fairly regularly. I mean, I don't think it's like an every game type of thing.
But it happens.
Yeah, it happens. And I think a lot of it is only extreme scenarios. Like, for instance, I'll give you a perfect example. Like the Battle of Alberta, when you've got Edmonton taking on Calgary. Last year, some of those games got rough. And you got Connor McDavid just getting absolutely destroyed in the corner, and people taking liberties after plays. I think it happens a lot in situations like that. Or even, and I'll throw this scenario out, like in a game like Sunday when you're going to Dallas, and if you're the official, you know that something's happened in the game before where Roman Josi got knocked out of the game, and maybe you're a little bit extra on the lookout for the Predators after the play or having some emotions spill over. I think it happened. These conversations happen a lot with that. And quite honestly, like, I don't necessarily disagree. Like, I think you need to be on the lookout for stuff like that when you've got emotional elements of the game involved. What I don't agree with is looking for calls that aren't there and making those calls anyway. Like, if something egregious happens, call it. That's what you're there for. If it doesn't, don't go out of your way to start making calls.
I mean, how many times have we watched a hockey game, a call is made, and you can tell that it was a bad call, it was the wrong call, and a team's on a power play, and within 30 to 60 seconds of that power play starting, there's another call made on the team that got the power play, and it evens up.
Yep.
I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, another thing in terms of NHL officials, quote, managing the game and not necessarily, not 100% officiating it, but managing it. There was, I believe this was the Road to the Cup, the Showtime series. I don't know if it was a Preds game, but there was a slash and then another slash by a player. And then the third slash is what prompted the official to call the penalty.
Right.
And the official told the player who got called basically that those three added up and that it wasn't necessarily like the third slash that was the one that was like a penalty, but he was managing the situation and calls a penalty on him. Like,
just call a slash.
Right.
You don't need to have it three times. Just call a slash.
But
that happens a lot, to your point.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, there's a lot of stuff like that, discussions like that.
Well,
in other sports, I think,
that happens in football. I mean, there have been mic'd up incidents in football of a referee approaching an offensive lineman and being like, hey, dude, watch your hands there, because if you keep doing that, I'm going to call it.
Right.
Now,
so is it a penalty or
yeah,
not?
Like, is it a penalty or is it not? Yeah. So it's not like this is an NHL thing. This happens with officials throughout all sports.
And they talk to players throughout
these games. And look, what you don't want to have happen if you're a fan is all of a sudden – everything is getting called. Like, you're just, it's a constant parade to the penalty box, or you're calling holding on every other snap in the NFL. Because how many times have we heard this saying, you could call holding on every play in the NFL? Like, I don't, maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. I don't know exactly
quite a few of them.
Accurate that is, but that is not very good for the viewing experience. So I'm fine with some discretion from the officials. What you don't want to have is it impacting games. And luckily, that did not happen last night with the Predators, but to Duchesne's point, it could have, and that would have been a bad, bad scenario for the Nashville Predators.
So when Tim Peel's saying, I took this as I wanted to call one early on them to rein them in.
Well, I would have loved to have heard he said after.
I know.
That.
I want to hear the rest of it. Or was it, I want to get one early on them because I had a bad call on Detroit earlier?
See, I don't know.
I took it more as these guys need to be chilled out.
And then maybe.
I know. Like, it, you know, who'd you say it was? Sutherland?
Yeah. Sutherland was the other referee in the game.
He wasn't exactly clutching pearls at the thing that Tim Peel said, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the auto here. This happened last night in the Predators and the Red Wings, and this is the incident under discussion now. Tim Peel out as an NHL official after this hot mic incident last night from the Predators and Red Wings game.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in the...
So I would have loved to
We needed one early.
So
here,
I would have loved to have heard the rest of that conversation and hear what he's actually talking about there. But, I mean, obviously, when you hear that as a Predators fan, you're like, what do you mean you want to get a penalty? It wasn't much. If it wasn't much, it's not much. Don't call it.
And honestly, that particular penalty, if you're out there, like, predetermining calling a penalty, you probably could have picked a better one too, right?
Yeah.
Like, wait another minute. Probably, like, that was terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. We'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic to continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party. And it's time to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. You can watch a weekend Preds game with the Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word ICE to 615-737-1025. That's ICE to 615-737-1025 now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fan, join 102.5 The Game tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live with special guest, former Pred Vern Fiddler, the legendary Vern Fiddler. Yes. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Pred season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Look for the keyword to text in for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Detroit Red Wings at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue.
And Vern Fiddler will be joining Chase McCabe and Terry Crisp.
Ooh, that is a legendary combo right there.
Crispy has a lot of history with Vern Fiddler.
Yes, sir.
So that will be an entertaining hour.
Absolutely.
For Smashville Live.
6 to 7 p.m. tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, the birthday boy, Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, happy birthday.
Thanks, friends. I can't imagine a better place that I would want to spend the beginning of my birthday than with the two of you talking about Tim Peel.
Absolutely. We're going to pretend for a moment that you're absolutely serious about that. And on that front, let's start with that. Obviously, that is the top story in the National Hockey League right now. The hot mic incident last night with Tim Peel in the Preds and Red Wings game, and now the NHL essentially firing Tim Peel without actually firing Tim Peel. What have you thought of this entire situation, and how surprised are you that the NHL has moved as swiftly as they have on this?
I am surprised that they moved as quickly as they did. And, of course, the one time that they do, I was just about to file a story about what could happen.
Yeah.
And now it won't see the light of day. But certainly, look, we all know that these things happen. You know, questionable calls, makeup calls, you know, they're an unspoken part of the game. The problem is that Tim Peel said the quiet part out loud and was caught on a hot mic doing so. So it's not so much that it's not so much that he did what he did, because we've seen it in all sports. I mean, look, I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. I witnessed arguably the worst call in the history of professional football that prevented my favorite team from getting to the Super Bowl, most likely.
Yep.
So I get it. And Elijah Campbell will back me up on that.
Where's the makeup call on that one, by the way?
There was never a makeup call on that one, by the way. But look, I think when you clearly hear an NHL official saying, "I was looking, I was looking to get a penalty on Nashville." He said he used much more colorful language than that, of course, but this is a family show. I don't think the NHL had much other choice. The interesting thing, Elliot Freeman mentioned this on Twitter, that Tim Peel was scheduled to retire near the end of this season. But they're now taking that away from him. And I learned earlier, based on that information, that I haven't been able to confirm this, but I had heard that Tim Peel was actually planning on retiring at the end of last season, but was asked to come back for one more year to lead a relatively inexperienced officiating crew in the NHL. So it's basically forcing him into a little bit earlier of a retirement than perhaps he expected, but I am surprised that the NHL moved so quickly to rectify the situation.
Hey, Tim, please come back so we can give you a swift kick to the butt next year and kick you out of the league. Thanks a lot, buddy. Okay, so, all right, let me ask you this, Adam, a couple things. What did you think, why did you think he was saying that he wanted the, because obviously we will never get the rest of the conversation, although maybe we could get the rest of that conversation, but I took that as he thought the Preds needed to be, like, reined in a little bit. Maybe it was just a makeup. And then secondly, you said, yeah, this happens, but he said the quiet part out loud. He messed up the mic. Now, that's obviously a rarity. Do you actually believe that these discussions don't take place often between officials?
Oh, I mean, I have to imagine that they do. And of course, I have been a referee. I've been an intramural basketball referee in college.
Yeah, buddy.
Ooh, me too.
We never had these conversations. because the intramural championship at American University wasn't as much of a high stakes situation as a game between these two teams. And of course, now TMZ Sports has just tweeted NHL referee fired over hot mic comments. When TMZ gets in on the action, then you know it's a big deal.
Uh-oh.
This morning before the news broke, I spoke to Carey Fraser, a retired NHL official. He worked more than 2,000 games in the regular season and playoffs over the span of 30 years. And he told me, that there are times in the game when the referees consult with one another about the flow of the game. And said that, he said that there were times when I'm quoting him directly, there were times when as a referee, I would want to have a penalty, not create one, but to have one happen for me, that was a gift that I could make a call for one reason or the other to bring the temperature down in a game. There may be a time in a game where one team has committed a majority of infractions. I mean, last night there were 4 penalties called against the Predators and 3 for the Red Wings. It's a balance. Referees aren't accountants. When the infractions happen, you raise your arm and you call a penalty. So these conversations do happen. And I have to imagine it's human nature to even things up. And, in that situation, I think there had only been one penalty called before that because it was the penalty that the Predators, scored the power play goal. And I didn't think the game was so chippy that the officials needed to call that penalty on Victor Arvidsson. But like I said, it's about, he did not, whoever was responsible for that hot mic, whether it was Tim Peel not turning off his mic or one of the microphones that surround the rink, unfortunately nothing is private anymore. And he got reprimanded for it.
Yeah. So Adam, we're sitting here kind of sifting through this, and lost in this is the Predators win another game, 4 out of 5 wins for the Predators. And all of a sudden you're 4 points back of a playoff spot in the Central Division. How have they been able to do this with the injuries that have taken place? What stood out to you about the way the Predators have played as of late?
Well, first and foremost, I give full credit to the goaltending. Both Pekka-Rinne and Juuse Saros, specifically Juuse Saros, have been great over these past 5 games. I looked at it last night, and I think over the past 5 games at 5-on-5, the Predators have a combined team save percentage of like 96% or thereabouts, and that'll win you a lot of hockey games. But it certainly seems like this team is starting to find an identity, and Matthew Olivier, talked about that last night. Robbie, you were asking Roman Josi about that as well. I feel like you're starting to see what this team could be, and I also think the younger players have had something to do with it. I mean, there's been a scarcity of youthful exuberance in the Predators lineup over the past several years, and I know it was brought on by injuries, but to be able to have the likes of Ellie Tolvanen, Alex Carrier, Rem Pitlick, Jeremy Davies, Matthew Olivier, Yakov Trenin, to have them in the lineup and pushing for playing time and motivating the veterans, I think that's a great combination. So certainly you have to be enthused by what you've seen, but, I think there are Predators fans who are worried that if this team continues to win games, it might change what they decide to do at the trade deadline. And I'm a bit wary of that too. I still think it's in the best interest of this organization not to push all of its chips into making the playoffs this year. I still think they should be sellers, even if they are softer sellers, quote unquote, than perhaps they anticipated. But making the playoffs and perhaps getting your butt kicked by Tampa Bay in the first round or Carolina, doesn't do much for this team. So I'm hoping, and I'm sure they are, that the front office led by David Poile is looking at this, as unemotionally as they can.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you think they're buying. So. some Preds fans. Preds Twitter seems to think they're buying. Preds Facebook, who knows what they're saying.
Blew up yesterday.
But that's interesting. Interesting to call it. Yeah, I've heard that's a real special place. I hate Facebook in general, but Pred's Facebook sounds really spectacular. But so softer selling. Okay, so quickly define that.
So perhaps you decide to hold on to Matthias Ekholm, but you still trade Mikael Granlund. You still trade Eric Halla. You still trade the veterans on expiring contracts. You still move players that have value, but you don't sell the farm. So before, you know, 2 weeks ago, after they were bludgeoned by the Florida Panthers in their last home game before the 8-game road trip, I mean, I think we all thought that this team was going to be disassembled by the time they got back, and of course they played better than we all anticipated, so that didn't happen. So I still think you can move players. I mean, last night on TSN Insider Trading, Frank Zaravalli reported that Mikael Granlund appears to be the ideal fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is what we've been hearing now for the past couple of weeks. If that's still the case, I still think you make that move. And you put someone like Rem Pitlick in at center, or Matthew Shane, of course, when he returns from injury. I think you can still move players that have value, but hold on to maybe one or two guys that you thought you might trade but decided not to.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest. Joe Rexroad, you got a quick one?
Yeah, real fast. Do you own a ladder?
Jeez.
Do I own a ladder? Yes, I own one ladder.
Good. Very good. It's one more than Jarrett Stillman.
Vingan owns a ladder, Stillman.
Does he think I don't own a ladder?
Well, no, he doesn't own one. We'll send you the audio.
Yeah, we'll have to show you what happened yesterday on the show. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Adam, happy birthday, my friend. Thank you for taking time to join us today.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators when we come back. Taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. It's tournament time, and with so many games going on, who wants to bet on just one? That's why I love betting on parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook, because it's a great way to combine bets from different games for an even bigger win. And guess what? FanDuel is here to help your parlay even if it doesn't go as planned. They'll give you up to $25 back in site credit if your parlay falls three legs or more, or your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. That's one parlay per day each day of the tourney, each for new and existing users. So whether it's Gonzaga, whether it's Alabama, whatever favorite you like, that's on the table for you, and that's why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. They're always hooking us up. The app is so easy to use, and you've got a lot of options to choose from. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So if you've been thinking about signing up, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. It's time to save cash fast. It's the 102.5 The Game Deal of the Week from Grain and Berry in Hillsborough Village. Go to thegamenashville.com right now to get half off a $20 gift card. Grain and Berry is Nashville's superfood cafe, where healthy meets delicious. I can confirm that. I had a little Grain and Berry the other day. It was very good.
Nice.
Very, very good. So check that out at thegamenashville.com.
Despite your love for banana pudding, I will take
thank you.
Put your opinion in high regard.
Thank you. I appreciate that here on the program. Right now, discussing the breaking news in the NHL, Tim Peel has been fired. Well, I guess fired is not the right word. He will not be officiating NHL games now or in the future. So take that for what you will if you're the NHL with the statement that they come out with. But I guess there is an important difference there. You do not technically get fired. I would assume, and I don't know this, that since he was about to retire anyway, probably still getting benefits. I don't think they just pulled the plug out from underneath him.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
If any of that situation changed.
Right.
That's probably the way
they shouldn't do that.
No. For as much as people dislike Tim Peel,
yeah,
no.
Absolutely. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi texts in and says, most places when you get terminated, you lose your retirement. At least small-town companies do that. Again, I don't think that's going to happen here with Tim Peel.
Very active day for four-ladder Heidi.
Yeah. We appreciate you on the text
Heidi's
line.
Ladders. Joe's Clowney, Heidi's Ladders.
Yes, absolutely.
Jared's Shame.
Well, it's interesting, like, kind of getting the landscape of the reaction around the league to this. And a popular one in the last few minutes coming from a bunch of different people online. And Adam Vingan brought this up in the last segment as well. Tim Peel got in trouble for saying out loud what happens every game that is not said out loud. Now, again, I don't know if I necessarily buy every game. I don't think this is like some game-by-game rampant problem that just happens all the time and is a constant discussion with officials.
What's our next penalty that we should probably call? Let's get Sissons on one.
I don't buy
He's annoying me.
Yeah, I don't buy that for a second. Now, do you call it strictly by the rule book all the time? I don't buy that either. I think that there's a middle ground that has been had here with not only the NHL, but really all sports in general. We brought up the example with NFL officials of warning offensive linemen about the way they're using their hands on the line of scrimmage. I think things like that happen. And again, I don't want to get to a place in the NHL or with the NFL where you're calling everything
right
out there, because that's not good to watch.
I think it's a good thing to have these discussions with players. Now, I understand Porth had the example, and I think that's probably too much when it's like, well, you didn't actually slash, but I had the three. That's not great, but I do like the general idea of, hey, you're close. I'm about
you
to call
watch it.
You got to patrol police the game. We can't just have robots out there dancing any penalty. I mean, if you did that, like Duke basketball, sorry, Vingan, they'd all be fouled out, you know, 5 minutes in the game, and then we'd have a terrible game to watch. I mean, you got to have some human touch to this stuff.
Yeah, there's a balance to it. So there is part of the reaction on Twitter right now is, well, just call the rule book. Call it what it is. I hear that. Now, if they actually start calling games in the NHL or any sport, like specifically by the rule book and exactly to the letter, you're going to be spending a lot of time on special teams in these games.
You will. But that's what's also so stupid about then calling something that isn't a penalty.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You've got plenty to choose from. Like, wait 30 seconds.
Right, like the call on Arvidsson was awful. It's not a good call. I mean, I think Duchesne brought that up. It was not a good call. It wasn't. So,
and wasn't that the one where C-Mace in live time was like, how is that a penalty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. C-Mace was not happy. Yeah. And it wasn't. It wasn't a good call. Now, I mean, you could point to, look, hockey's a fast game. You're going to miss some things out there. You're going to think you see something in live time, and then when you're the viewing audience or even an official on the replay, you've got the opportunity to go back and look at it, you're going to miss a lot of calls in the NHL. The game's just too fast. You're not going to be perfect. But that one, that was bad. It was a bad call.
Tim Peel, man, I'm actually really looking forward to more of this story. One on him and the league, how this went down, you know, if this is an accumulation with him or more of just a, well, he was going to retire anyway, or both. Look, Custance, all you guys out there, look, I'm counting on you right now. I'm really intrigued by more of the backstory on this whole thing.
I am too.
It's part of a bigger story beyond hockey, too.
Yeah.
But in particular, this is because I can't remember the last time that something happened that got people outraged to a certain extent, and then, you know, like hours later, there is a way harsher punishment than you would have guessed for an official. It doesn't happen.
No, it does not happen very often at all. So we'll continue to monitor this as more and more information becomes available with the Tim Peel situation. Joe, I do want to ask you about what Adam Vingan floated out there in the last segment as well, and that is the idea that even if the Predators don't feel like they're in the same position as they were a week and a half ago, where you're maybe thinking about selling the farm, maybe approaching it with a softer sell. Would that be a route you would consider or go if you're David Poile on the Predators, regardless of what the next couple of weeks look like?
I mean, to me, that's the bare minimum. I mean, I think you have to deal the guys on expiring contracts and get something, because you have to. You can't just push forward with this roster as is
and think
you're going to be a contender and then lose those guys. So that to me is a bare minimum. I still think there has to be at least one other big move, and maybe more than that, but yeah, that's a bare minimum. Can I have time real quick to throw something in here?
Sure.
Recommendation of the day. Betty Wiseman started the Belmont women's program many years ago. Belmont Betty, awesome story on her from Chantel Jennings in The Athletic. Also, Teresa Walker did a great story on her. Belmont is the last basketball team playing. Belmont women, Destiny Wells, freshman playing Indiana. Today, they just won their first NCAA game. They are trying to win their second, get to the first Sweet 16 in program history. ESPNU at 4 o'clock. Don't miss it. Destiny Wells is awesome. And yep. Betty Wiseman is a great story.
Absolutely. And then tomorrow we'll be on the show, another opportunity for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The drive for being shut out the whole season continues for Robbie Stanley tomorrow. We've gotten text about it today on the text line. I hear you. It just is what it is at this point.
Hey, you and I can change a tire. You and all of us own a ladder, and you can change oil. So I don't care if you never get another pick. Oh, you can't. Okay, yeah. Well, you could even think about changing oil. That alone is amazing.
Thank
you. You know, you may stink at Preds Click to Pick, but you know what? We can't all be good at everything.
That's right. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. That does it for us today here on the show. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donovan Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.